Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are still continuing the Whispered Madness saga. We're doing In Bleakest Winter again, but this time I'll try to actually make a little bit of progress before I go and kill myself doing something incredibly stupid that I was explicitly told not to do. Anyway, I'll be rushing through until we reach the bits where we were before. If you want to see what I'm clicking through, well, here. If you want to see it, you have to play the game yourself. But if you want to hear it, you can go on my previous adventure or play Swift with a screen reader. Anyway. First massive winter wolf goes down. Number two. Number three. And number four. That's four out of the nine gone. Yeah, and Mordwyf is paralyzed by the mage in rags. Alright, I'm going to agree to perform the task for her. And I do. Your surroundings immediately begin to blur. There's the wolves. Okay, here we are. Here's a decision. An old man pauses as he reaches the edge of the pool and stares out across its rippling surface. Despite your proximity to him, he seems to take no notice of you. "He's about to be devoured," says the woman. "He's come here to ponder things that will not again be. Winter's now long gone. Therefore's no longer even a memory. You may just choose to spare him what will imminently be a gruesome end. But in doing so may doom him to a far less desirable fate. I will not counsel you further, for the decision is yours to make. And whatever you choose will be what is right." Suddenly the water at the centre of the pool begins to churn violently. The old man throws up his hands and staggers back from the pool water's edge as the massive, horned head of a Trosk rises out of the pool. So I can rush to the old man's aid, which is what I did the last time, or I can remain where I am. You watch in horror as the Trosk lunges at the elderly man, its fanged ward stretched wide. The next instant, your surroundings suddenly blur, completely obscuring the gruesome scene. Probably fair enough, it's very gruesome. Your surroundings come back into focus, and you find you're no longer in a tangled bog. Instead, you're standing at the end of a long, taut-lit passage, directly before an iron-banded wooden door. To your left, standing against the wall, stands the wag-clad woman, still flanked by a pair of winter wolves. "You're not certain why you chose to let that old man die, are you?" That's because I saved him in the other time," asked the woman, in what you attempted to describe as a taunting tone. "I'd only say the decision was not wrong. His crimes were the unforgivable sort. Rather, his passing has set into motion events that will lead to the deaths of others. Possibly a great many others. How can it be helped?" "I don't know. Maybe if I wasn't warped. Maybe if I wasn't zapped away before I could do anything else, I could help it, or probably more accurately, set things up so someone else can help that, but no. You just leave me to make one choice and they're both bad and not be in any way to really deal with the consequences. But, oh, well, I don't know what you're trying to prove, that choices have effects. Yeah, I know that. Are you just trying to induce decision paralysis in me or something? Because you have. You attempt to question the woman about what she's just revealed, but she only shakes her head in response and points to the door. The passage behind us, and we read this before. There's the door. Better go for it. Do not turn around. Tried that before. It ended badly. Talks about the wolves. Apparently I've seen them before. But not, maybe not in this form. Long have they circled you, just waiting for an opening, she continues. You have not recognised them, because you've never seen them for what they truly are. The danger has long stalked you. The vile doubt that ever gnaws at your resolve. Friends, accomplices, enemies. They will each be undoing, and there is nothing you can do to prevent it. Suddenly, the woman stumbles back as if overcome by weakness. The pair of wolves at her feet step menacingly towards you, their teeth barred. No! She sternly commands, pressing her right shoulder into the passage wall for support. Our task is done. What is left is not for us to do. The winter wolves, their blazing eyes still fixed on you, slowly retreat to their master's side. You've done what I've required of you, she says. Your friend back on the world will live. I can promise nothing else. Go through the door and do what you feel is necessary. But do not tarry. The Hogorond is at your heels. Its appetite is boundless. She falls silent and appears to have difficulty drawing breath. Just when it appears she's recovered enough to speak, the woman and her two wolves vanish, leaving you alone in the torchlit passage. As you contemplate your next move, your eyes move to the door, seemingly endless passage before you. A soft whisper breezes into your thoughts. The whisper fades into a silent roar that surges through your mind, assailing your psyche. Do I have the thing that... The amulet? Yeah, I have the amulet that helps with these checks equipped, that I got right at the start of this stuff. Alright, it's the go mad check again. Picking a number, bonus of 16. No, 60. 20 aura, 20 mind, 20 spirit. 100 or more, pick now. 61, failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. You struggle to quell the silent roar, but are unable to drive the terrifying bellow from your thoughts. Slowly, the roar becomes less pronounced, until, at last, you're no longer certain you can hear it. Alone in the torchlit passage, you begin to recall some of what the strange woman told you before she abruptly vanished. The passage behind us goes a long way. We can pay no mind to it. Nothing of any consequences to be discovered back there, as we found out at the end of the previous episode. Well, it's quite consequential, but not to anyone but Sir Croakington, because she dies. She dies 7 steps from the door to continue, because it's a mess. It's a mess. That which matters lies ahead. Go now through the door. Do not attempt to turn back once you've entered. With the words playing in your mind, you carefully consider your next course of action. Open the door before you. You grasp the door's iron latch and give it a firm tug. The weighty, metal-banded door portal swings silently open to reveal an inky blackness beyond. Even with the penetrating, comforting glow of the reliable light seems incapable of penetrating the dense gloom. Now, what about if I step back along torchlit passage now? And it's just like last time. Yeah, it's one of those wibbly wobbly spacey wacy doors. where it's all TARDIS-y. Now return to the door and open it. Only with great effort do you manage to reach the door. Bathed in sweat and struggling to fill your lungs, you grasp the door's iron latch and give it a firm tug. The weighty, metal-banded portal swings silently open to reveal an inky black darkness beyond. Even the comforting glow of your reliable light source seems impenetrable of penetrating the dense gloom. With your every thought bent on escaping this strange reality, you boldly step through the open door. A howling blast of frigid air assails you as you step through the door, nearly blowing you off your feet. Oh, there's a space between the N and the G in blowing. Guess that's probably just a typo. Yeah, whatever, that happens. I mean, there's millions of words. It'd be ridiculous not to expect everyone to go in exactly white. Especially since, of course, the GM doesn't, you know, have staff, you know, to check over these things. And a large community that would immediately notice any mistakes and make quite certain that they are sent to the person whose job it is to correct those. Because it's all one person. The impenetrable darkness swiftly melts away to reveal a hilly, winter-ravaged forest landscape that extends in all directions for as far as the raging blizzard allows your eyes to see. There's no sign to be had of the doorway through which you've just stepped, which is probably a good thing, because if there was a way, I'd probably try to go through it again and get myself killed. So it's a good thing it's gone. A sudden, snow-laden gust of wind washes past you. It's deathly chill, eliciting an involuntary shudder. As you endeavour to make sense of your newfound surroundings, or rattles your thoughts. Alright, it's the go mad check. Pick now. 82, failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. Your attempt to push the silent war from your mind has failed. Slowly, however, the war begins to diminish. After nearly a minute, you're no longer certain you can hear it. The blizzard rapidly intensifies, obscuring more of the wild landscape behind a wind-driven curtain of ice and snow. Suddenly, two points of light appear in the distance, their flickering glows only feebly piercing the storm's wintry veil. The dull orange light to the northwest appears slightly stronger than the pale yellow glow to the northeast. After only a moment's consideration, you start towards one of the distant lights. Now, there's nothing here that really suggests which light you go to. And they do lead to different things, I remember that at least. So, once again, random.org, number 2. We'll be going to the northeast light. As you struggle on through the blizzard, doing your best to conceal any exposed flesh. Conceal any exposed flesh from the waging storm's deadly fury. Picking a number, bonus of 60. 20 from body, 20 from spirit, 20 from woodmanship. Got to get 100 or more, or the cold will get me. Pick now. 95, failure. The brutal cold snaps your strength as it slowly freezes your flesh. 23 damage. With grim determination, this has also somehow lost all my Neville reserve, which is pretty harsh for failing one simple check. With grim determination, can you continue towards a distant flickering light? Suddenly, something looms out of the swirling snow ahead. You're startled when a fur-clad figure suddenly emerges from the billowing snow. The figure turns to face you, and you find yourself looking into the wide, dark eyes of a young woman. The woman's hands, clad in thin leather gloves. You need thicker gloves. Grip the side of a large, glowing silver orb. I should destroy this. What? Is it what? Or should I keep it? Should I keep and protect it? She asks. Her voice wavering, and her tone wife, Kyoji's side was pronounced dread. I can't remember what they told me. I can't remember. What should I do? Something about the woman's face is immediately familiar to you. There's no time to dwell on the notion. You feel compelled to promptly respond to her question. So I can ask her to destroy the orb or keep and protect the orb. I have no context for this. No context at all, and she's not even giving me even the slightest bit. And she can't, and she doesn't know either. And there's no way to use any skills or powers. I mean, even if I could use powers, I couldn't use them because my Neville reserve is drained. So, just tell her to destroy the orb, or tell her to keep and protect the orb. I shall just go to Wandrun.org to tell me what to do. Number one, apparently, destroy the orb. Yeah, the young woman nods in response to your directive and turns her gaze to the silver orb. Yes, of course. Now I remember everything, she says. Whenever one is faced with doubt, it must be crushed, utterly destroyed. There's no other way to ensure that mayhem will be tethered. I hope this doesn't become... Without a warning, the glowing orb between her gloved hands explodes, disintegrating where she stands, and showing you in a pool of shimmering silver particles. Suddenly, a ghastly shriek erupts from behind you, its inhuman resonance momentarily displacing the blizzard's fierce howl. Unnerved by the wail, you spin around to discover its source, only to be confronted by a bewitching sight. Perched atop the snow, only a few yards from where you stand, is a bright red cardinal. The bird, no, not the Catholic Church near the top people cardinals. Just a bird. Because that would be weird because, I mean, Swift is a word without a... Swift doesn't really have a Catholic Church. There is a monotheistic religion in charge, so presumably there are cardinal escrolls, but nothing exactly like it, because a lot of weird stuff has happened to the Catholic Church over the years to make it just a little different than any other church, than any other religious organisation in history would be, if history ran even slightly differently. The bird tilts its head to the side as its small dark eyes fixate on you. Suddenly, the cardinal opens its beak, unleashing another ghost ghastly wail. Then, in a series of swift hops across the top of the snow, the bird moves closer to you. You're overcome by the urge to attack and kill the creature. So I can attack the cardinal or remain where you are. Now, since it's not Cardinal Ratzinger, it's a little bit more difficult to make this decision. So, Wano.org, tell me what to do. Number two, remain where I am. I'm willing to attack the bird, who presumably... I mean, it's not the bird's fault, its natural tweets have been replaced by ghastly whales. You watch as the cardinal hops about atop the snow, until it flutters off into the billowing snow and vanishes. Suddenly, an ominous snarl from somewhere to your right serves to command your full attention. You slowly turn in the direction of the unsettling sound, only to have your eyes meet an unwelcome sight. The imposing fur-clad figure of Woundskin scans just a few yards from you, its blazing eyes flickering like candles beneath the shadowy folds of a large drooping hood. Or maybe he isn't. Because, you know, it's whispered madness. We're never really sure what's actually happening in any of these adventures. The immortal ogre grunts and draws back his broad shoulders. Seemingly trying to achieve some level of comfort in attire that's likely entirely foreign to him.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His deep, resonating voice rolls out from between his cracked lips like thunder.
"Admirable, in a visceral way, that you allowed the bird to live," he says. "But I wonder why you chose to do so. You remain an intriguing puzzle, which bodes well for you, and for those whose lives you choose to value. Oh, you are a wonderful mystery."
Woundskin grimaces as he shifts his immense bulk.
"You best continue towards the light," he says. "This place is, after all, just another bleak spot in a world for which such misery is, shamefully, all too common, is it not?"
Woundskin steps towards you and holds out his clenched white hand. The ogre slowly unfurls his thick fingers to reveal the cardinal. The bird, clutched in his ogre's palm, appears unscathed. Okay.
"Shall I do what you could not? Shall I crush the life out of the beast?"
he asks, his rumbling voice sending tremors through your body.
"It may seem a barbarity, but that would be the end on how perceptively you view the act. Could there be an outcome to which you're blind? The possibilities of infinity remain spread out before us. I can contemplate them, all of them." "But their convergence with realities we have yet to forge are impossible to anticipate. A tolerable jest, I think."
Woundskin looks down at the cardinal and snorts. The forceful expulsion of air ruffling the feathers seeks. The forceful expulsion of air ruffling the bird's sleek red feathers.
What shall we do?
He asks, a hint of sadness edging into the guttural tone of his voice. "So, I can tell him to kill the bird or let the bird go. You know what? I could go for random.org, but honestly, I've made a decision once and I'm keeping to it. I'm gonna let the bird go." The instant you tell Woundskin to let the cardinal, the bird whips its head in your direction. Then, after flittering about in the ogre's palm for several moments, the cardinal takes to flight and is soon lost amidst the swirling snow of the winter storm.
"Would you have spoken for its release if you knew the creature to be Tilgwynarm the Devourer?"
he asks, his blazing eyes fixing with a calculating snare.
"Yes, a dragon who's more demon than lizard. He devours worlds and disgorges them again, so that they may be realms of vileness, fit for his abominable kith and kin. I dare say you would not have. But what's done now, done is now in the past, however wasted that past may be. Let us look to what lies ahead."
In the blink of an eye, Woundskin's imposing form transforms into a figure entirely made out of snow. With the next blast of frigid air, the immortal ogre's frozen likeness is scattered on the wind. As the deadly cold continues to snap your strength, you turn your attention to the distant, flickering glow and again set off through the storm. You stagger onwards through the blizzard, doing your best to conceal any exposed flesh from the raging storm's deadly fury, picking a number. Bonus was 60. 20 from body, 20 from spirit, 20 from woodmanship. Gotta get 100 or more, or get too cold, pick now. 146 success. As you continue towards the distant flickering light, something looms out of the swirling snow ahead. An old man, bent beneath the weight of a bulky cloth bag hoisted upon his shoulders, emerges from the swirling snow ahead. As he draws near, the man looks up and regards you with a weary smile. "Might you take from me this burden?" he asks. Voice of reason. "Give me back that bag!" squeaks the old man, leaping forward and snatching the sack from your grasp. "You don't want to see what it holds." "Or perhaps you do." Before you can answer, he reaches into the bag and draws out a human skull. You, after quickly turning the gruesome piece to face you, he shovels it back into the sack. "Recognize it?" he asks, leering at you. "You should! You used to wear it!" "Yeah." "Oh. But those are really small. So they kind of got lost in the core of the bag, you know, when a little bit of the bag folded over the other bag. And he ended up drawing out the human skull instead." From view. Before vanishing completely, he fixes you with a cool glare and nods twice. A frigid blast of wind lashes your face as the swarm around you intensifies. With your bewilderment growing and with no other recourse, you once again resume your trek towards the distant flickering light. You press on through the storm, do your best to conceal any exposed flesh from the way, because my Neville reserve is already all gone. As you continue towards the distant flickering light, something looms out of the swirling snow ahead. Now what is it this time? The pale yellow glow you've been endeavouring to reach suddenly looms out of the swirling. And it makes for a lantern held up by a grey-bearded man clad in a ragged assortment of cloths and furs. "I knew you were headed my way," he says, smirking. "Well, I've saved you a lot of trouble, just so you know. I could have sent my horse to fetch you. For I confess the tricky beast is up and dashed off again. It's only got two legs, mind. But it walks. It's only got two legs, mind, but it walks like you and I. Strange, isn't it?" But you already know that. For you find it difficult to sort through the jumble of disparate thoughts trembling through your mind, you manage to pose a semi-coherent question to the grey-bearded man. You ask him what it is you're doing here, and if at all still related to saving Mordorf's life, which you previously told had already been accomplished. "The life of Mordorf?" he muses, momentarily closing his eyes. "How does one go about saving the life of Mordorf? Or perhaps the better question, is Mordorf's life worth saving? Or what about, is Mordorf's life even in danger? No, because I've already saved it. Or could we ask, does Mordorf actually exist?" Anger rises within you and you tremble with the sudden anticipation of throttling the man and leaving him dead for dead in the snow. "Not of that," he scowls, waving his finger at you. "I'm here, I'm to help you make sense out of the chaos with which you so unwisely surrounded yourself. You are careless, considerate, cruel and compassionate in every breath. But let us discover the shore towards which you will ultimately steer." The image of a jagged tor, crowned by a wing of dead trees, surges to the thaw of your thoughts as a silent war builds in the back of your mind. "Fight it!" snarls the grey-bearded man. "There is no way to escape it, but you must not become its prey." Picking a number. Bonus of 60. 20 aura, 20 mind, 20 spirit. 100 or more, pick now or go loopy. Pick now. 105, success. Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. Woo! Hopelessly clutching at your temples. You close your eyes and tightly groan in agony as the silent war begins to ebb. Its maddening resonance slowly fading into the nothingness out of which it erupted. "There's a strength in you that few others have known," says the bearded man, his tone subtly deferential. The hell is not something most can see without losing their hold on reality. You are either to undo the impending calamity or hasten the realization of its wicked promise. You're all wondering which it will be. Suddenly, the grey-bearded man suddenly gasps and staggers back several steps. He fixes you with a panic-laced stare before collapsing face first into the snowy ground. A massive figure of shadow rises up out of his heaped remains. A black, hulking, featureless silhouette, both familiar and terrifying. "The promises you keep are infinitely more dangerous than those you discard," mumbles the voice. "You know such peril, for you have ceaselessly walked it. Now let us begin a telling episode. A trial awash with profundity and circumstance, both real and imagined." Woundskin slowly takes form out of the silhouette. The immortal ogre, the blue wounds covering his immense bulk, glowing brightly. Solemnly nods as he steps away from the shadow, which promptly melts into the ground.
"Do you recall our first meeting?"
he asks, his voice rolling through you in jolting waves.
"It was a rare display of weakness on my part, induced by something akin to sympathy. But I know you do not view me solely by the light of that single encounter. The shame I feel is mine to bear alone, for it is tempered by the knowledge that the meeting revealed you to be the champion I've so long sought. You have angered, surprised, and delighted me since then. You have yet truly disappointed me."
Struggling to speak, your mind rapidly poring over a tangle of disconnected thoughts. You manage to ask the great ogre about the trial he mentions.
"The trial begins now," he snarls, curling back his lips to reveal a mouth of jagged, blood-stained fangs. "Make your choices with the utmost of care, for numerous and divergent will be the paths before you."
Suddenly, your surroundings begin to blur. Your surroundings come back into focus, just in time for you to witness Woundskin fading from view. The immortal ogre snorts derisively as the last traces of his fearsome bulk vanish into thin air. Almost immediately, your head begins to swim as the scene around you rapidly changes into time, place, and circumstance that confronts you with a thorny dilemma. Okay, though this bit is called this bit is called the Trial of Choices. There are 30 choices you make, and each choice has three options. Now, the thing is, I kind of want these to be in their own episodes. Because these aren't little choices. Each choice has a whole section of text before the choice and a section of text after the choice, and with different text after each option. So I don't really want to start that mid-episode. Because I remember from the previous time I went through it, It took me a couple of episodes to get through all the choices. And I don't think I tried to systematically go through every single option. I think on my own, I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them. Oh, and also, at the end, you can just redo your choices over and over again until you find the choices you like, or at least choices you think are interesting. Yeah, so anyhow, in conclusion, I will pause it for now, even though we are quite early to be ending an episode. But that's just the way it has to be. So we at least start an episode at a convenient starting point. So anyway, so next episode, we do the Trial of Choices, or at least some of it. I think this time round, I will do the first option every time, and then the second option every time, and then the third option every time, so that between them, in what will probably take at least three episodes, probably more, you'll see every single result. And then knowing all of that, we'll go through again and choose the options we want. Now, I just hope the choices don't move around, because if the choices move around, then that makes doing the first every time, doing the second every time, doing the third every time, not get through everything. But I assume they'll be the same order each time. There's no particular reason to mix them up. But I mean, you never know with the GM. Anyhow, that is what we'll be doing next time. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.